Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is the last weekend of the Six Nations, and whether you're looking forward to celebrating a Grand Slam or commiserating a wooden spoon, why not do it with our friends at Beer 52? Beer 52 is the number one beer delivery service in the world, and because you're listening to our show, we can get you a free crate of craft beer just for listening to us. Get yourself on to beer52.com/thistle and you will get yourself 8 craft beers which cover all of the Six Nations countries, a copy of Ferment magazine, and a little snack to enjoy with the rugby as well. That's beer52.com/thistle. All you have to do is pay for postage and packaging, £5.95, and you will get free 8 craft beers delivered to your door. That's beer52.com/thistle. Come on, Scotland. Hello and welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Breakfast Show. I'm David and I'm joined as ever. It is 6:30 in the morning and there is Matt. How are you, bud?
Not too bad, actually. I think I'm going to crash later on in the day, but yeah, it's good to get the breakfast slot in.
Breakfast slot pre-Calcutta Cup, probably the biggest weekend in Scottish rugby every year. Alan, taking a sip of coffee. You getting that buzz on? You feeling good about it?
Yeah, good. Sorry I was a bit late. Minnie Alan Jacobson. I think she had a poor night's sleep.
Had to give her
some comfort this morning before I left.
Was that the reason you were looking after your cat?
Yeah, I gave her a couple of treats. So I've had to like refill her water bowl.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for waiting for us this week. We realise we are late this week, but starting off your Calcutta Cup weekend right. Listening to us on Apple or Acast, as ever, we've been on Twitter. Lots going on, including us getting a little bit of wind of the Scotland team early doors and letting you know about that 24 hours before it came out. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And the mailbag is empty. Haven't had one email, guys. Come on, raise your game. TheThistleRugby@gmail.com. If you're listening on Apple, please get on there. Leave us a review. How about this one? 5 stars from The Real Rossitron. I've been listening to these lads for a while and think they speak a lot of sense without taking themselves too seriously. I've tried the official Scottish Rugby podcast, which loves the fence too much, and a couple of others, but The Thistle is the only one I listen to every week. Even if it's been a bad week for Scottish Rugby, it's still worth listening for the quiz. Alan, everybody loves the quiz, don't they?
I mean, you don't know how bad the quiz is going to be today, do you?
give us a wee taste.
All right. The last decade of Calcutta Cups.
Calcutta Cup.
Calcutta.
Cuts on your mind.
Well, before we get into that, let's rattle through some news. There's been quite a lot coming on. Yesterday, interesting, Sam Hidalgo-Klein, all the people were adding their players for the next round of European competition. Sam Hidalgo-Klein, who's currently at the Scarlets, was listed as a Harlequins player, and then it was subsequently announced that he's heading there. He's not had a great time down in the Scarlets, has he?
Hasn't really played that often.
Yeah.
Which, considering sort of Davis, Gareth Davis is his competing man for nine, you'd think he would have played a bit. I think it's just it's a loan deal. It's not a permanent signing. So maybe it is just kind of injury cover, because I think Harlequins have got a few injuries at the scrum half.
Yeah. He kind of thought he was going to go in as second choice as Gareth Davis and get quite a lot of game time, especially over sort of the international period.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who the sort of now second choice is for Scarlets, but he's fallen pretty far in the pecking order and seems to be sort of playing most of his game time in the Welsh Premiership.
It's a bit of a shame, because in the Edinburgh's sort of run in the Pro 14 last year towards the tail end, he was starting and playing very, very well.
Yeah.
We were pretty gutted he left.
Yeah,
well.
Exactly. He seemed to be coming back onto a bit of a game, but we will watch that one with interest. Speaking of Edinburgh, and we talked about it on the pod a couple of weeks ago, but I think we said there was interest from Glasgow. Fiji Sevens captain Kunavula apparently sorting out his visa to sign a contract with Edinburgh. Looks like a pretty feisty ball carrier.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the highlights on YouTube from him playing sevens are pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Sevens highlights reels look really good, though.
Well, yeah. I think you're right. But, you know, he does all the things you'd expect from a Fijian sevens player. Like, he's really physical. He can offload well.
More reinforcements for Edinburgh. Murray Douglas, who we've championed on the pod, is coming over to Edinburgh. Short-term deal, World Cup cover from the Brumbies. Quite an interesting one.
Such an unbelievable career. Just sort of, I think, understanding as he went to Australia, not specifically for rugby reasons, more for just general life.
He went there to continue his law career.
And then he's had Brumbies, obviously played a bit in the ITM with Northland Cup. Couple of games in the Hurricane squad, and then
he was at the Rebels first, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at the Rebels as well.
Rebels first, then Hurricanes, and then now with the Brumbies. Although I'm not sure he's been getting particularly much game time.
No, I don't think he's been playing.
At the end of the day, as we've all said, if you're in the Hurricanes wider squad, you're good enough to be in the Edinburgh wider squad.
Particularly, and we'll come on to it, the Scotland squad for this weekend is essentially the Edinburgh pack. So
exactly,
you've got to assume that they're all going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
So they're going to need some second rows.
Well, in the second row, Toulis and Gilchrist will go to the World Cup, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good luck. Good luck to him. Hopefully it sort of turns into sort of a longer-term...
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it seems like everywhere he's gone, he's made a good impression and done well.
Yeah, and you sort of look below that sort of Toulis and Gilchrist, you're sort of getting to what you're like McKenzie's and Carmichael's, Hunter Hill, probably having a slightly sort of like big lump of a... ball carrying sort of slightly older second row isn't the worst thing for Edinburgh to get.
I asked the Edinburgh press officer if it was a if they were just teeing up a longer term deal, and got a very firm straight bat that it was a short term deal covering the World Cup only, full stop. And I was like, whoa, who uses full stops on WhatsApp?
I heard there was rumours that the Sweet Prince might be joining us on the pod at some point.
Well, we're trying to line it up. We're looking to do a big pre-quarter final event, and they're leaving that little carrot. Christine carrot has been sent out there.
Does that mean we cannot like say anything negative about Edinburgh for the next 2 weeks?
I think so.
Until we lock down that 90-minute exclusive interview.
What a wonderful club.
Murray Douglas is actually on the bench for the Brumbies today.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, further Edinburgh reinforcements. It was sort of, I haven't seen much of it since, but Mark Palmer last Sunday, little snippet in the Sunday Times, saying that Jamie Batty is going to be switching over from Glasgow to Edinburgh. He's been lacking a little bit of game time at Scotstoun this year, so good opportunity for him to come over.
Yeah, I think so. Once again, I'm a bit confused about the props and which props at Edinburgh and Glasgow have.
He's a loose head.
No, I know.
No, you don't.
He's replacing Dell.
Well,
he's replacing Dell, yeah.
But still, he'll be behind Schumann.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's essentially just coming in.
Once again, it just shows the difficulties of only having two pro squads.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that does get picked for Scotland because there aren't that many players.
I like the idea of him working with Corkers, though. He seems to be the sort of guy that maybe Corkers can get that sort of fight out of.
Mm. Yeah. I understand the difficulties of having two teams, but ultimately, when one team gets Ollie Kevill and one team decides to sign Piers Schumann, like, this You could have seen this coming, that we weren't going to have Scottish loose heads starting for either of the teams.
But it's like in Ireland, they only allow like one or two?
Yeah. I think you can only have three that are the international players starting in your 20.
Yeah. And then they'll limit you signing a scrum half, say.
Yes,
if you've got too many national qualifiers.
Well, that was one of the reasons Pienaar had to leave, wasn't
it? Also, I saw today that Barkley and Bennett have been added to the Edinburgh squad for the Champions Cup quarterfinal.
Which is very good news for Edinburgh. Yeah. Xander Ferguson's been re-added to the Glasgow one and a couple of others as well. And Cornel Dupree has been added to the Worcester squad for the Challenge Cup as well. So he's coming back from his throat injury.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him on the mend.
Chance of sneaking into the World Cup squad, potentially. If they're looking at him and Strauss, pretty similar players. Strauss hasn't really set the world alight during the Six Nations, has he? And he's been.
I just think Cornel Dupree's last match against Wales, he was literally so bad.
He was terrible. Strauss has been dropped to the bench to preempt the question you're about to ask.
Yeah. I can imagine Townsend like kind of not forgiving him and not picking him again.
But put Strauss out to the wilderness for like 18 months.
Yeah, and then
after
he was like,
Suva.
He's like, Strauss-y, my boy, how you doing?
Listen, everybody's fucked. We need you. Final bit of news, friend of the pod, Richie Vernon retiring. So well done, Richie, on a cracking career.
No, absolutely well done. Clearly got a nice like final year in London, playing for London Scottish.
Yeah.
Kind of like couple of job opportunities, bit of work experience. And he's probably the exact right way.
Rolled out for client events.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great like global rugby quiz answer, like players that have played international as forwards and backs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's his legacy. Congratulations, Richie.
Yeah, definitely.
Outside of all your caps.
Yeah, yeah. Outside of obviously everything you achieved.
Pro 14 win. And then was it Lewis Wynn got a full-time contract?
Yeah, I saw that.
Heading down to London Scottish next year. Yeah. How much time do you want to talk about the CVC and the World League and Six Nations and stuff like that? Or do you want to get onto the meat and drink?
Just chat about it briefly. So my understanding is with the World League stuff that Scotland and Ireland are two of the most frosty national unions.
Why is that?
Mate, Dodson just loves cash, mate. He's like, I like these private equity fellas.
Yeah.
They seem to make sense.
I'll have that $100 million tomorrow. Yeah. Thanks. I'm not interested in your $5 billion over time.
Yeah.
That $5 billion number seems to have been plucked out of thin air.
I don't know. I think with the $5 billion number, it's like a great like headline figure. But actually, when you sort of break it down over like the period of the agreement across all the teams, then it actually only ends up being, I think it's some, can't remember exactly, but it's not actually that much more than what the teams are getting at the moment.
Yeah. I think the World League proposals, I don't know, I'm sort of on the fence about it all. I think it's kind of got to move on a little bit, but I also really don't want Scotland to get dropped down into Tier 2 because it will definitely happen.
And there is going to be relegation now, is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Only in sort of 2 years out of, not in all years, like in World Cup years, there isn't any promotion relegation.
Yes. It's an extra 7.5 million per union per year. So yeah, you're right. Do you take the
versus 100?
100 mil up front.
Bring back the border rivers.
100 mil over 12 years.
7.5 mil a year.
You take 100.
But you don't lose 30% of the Six Nations, obviously, if you do the latter. Also like the fact that it's like been set up a little bit like Brexit. It's like the final deadline for unions to sign up is March 29th. And if they don't, the plan is off.
That's hard World League.
Oh God, yeah. Not again.
Brett Gosper was like, I like what May's doing here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dealing no
exactly
deal,
what
you want.
Business.
Just like, you've got CVC have done like with like other sports and things like that, like Formula One and things like that. They are ruthless, like sort of commercialization and spreading the global game. You'll end up with like Scotland, Italy being played in like Baku. They were like, we really want to bring the game to Azerbaijan. Let's do it.
Do you think it'd be a bad thing if it went away from free to air and it was all paid?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to grow the game.
I mean, it depends what your objective is. If you want to make a shit ton of cash, then no. But if you want to grow the game.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, how many people do we know that only watch rugby for the Six Nations of the World Cup?
Yeah.
Essentially. And I think, but you know, if you really had a short-term view and wanted to generate cash straight away, there's a lot at Sky are waiting there with a check.
Yeah.
Ready to take that off your hands. And
true, Sky and BT would get into a straight away bidding war for that.
Yeah.
Six Nations contract. Thank exactly. you very much.
Yeah. Although I don't really believe the stuff people are like, oh, we're going to be playing games like in the US and like the Middle East. Just like, no one's going to go to them. Like, that's just not a way of making money. So I think it's more the sort of pay TV just slash general commercialization of the Six Nations.
But what if Qatar give you £800 million to host the Rugby World Cup?
Mike Dodson's siding on the line. He's just like, that's fine.
Yeah.
For the greater good.
I love that. Anyway. Okay. Well, let's see how the World League pans out. I think we've exhausted our knowledge of it right there. Right. So let's look ahead to the England game tomorrow. But within that, let's also touch on the hugely disappointing loss to Wales last weekend, going down ultimately 18 points to 11. Josh Adams and Jonathan Davies getting tries for Wales. Wee Darcy with a try on his starting debut for Scotland. It was an absolute belter. But once again, it felt like opportunity lost for Scotland and just didn't quite get going. Matt?
Yeah, well, I was at the game and the first half was one of the worst first halves I've seen in a long time from Scotland. And the stadium was so dead, so flat. There was nothing to get fans excited. And had quite a few Welsh fans around me. And, you know, through no fault of their own, they were like taking the piss out of Scotland. They seemed like a joke to them. And they were like laughing. And I was quite embarrassed, to be fair. They played a lot better in the second half. Managed to get a bit more territory and just managed to get their hands on the ball. But still, the amount of basic errors they made, like getting stripped in contact, knocking the ball on, the amount of times they kicked to the corner and then just got smashed back in the maul.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. That surely is...
It was the key
I don't understand that.
It was the key one at 68 minutes when if we'd kicked it, we'd been 1 point behind, 12 minutes to go.
Yeah.
But we went to the corner and turned it over and it just... I guess that was the difference. We had so much possession in that 22 in the second half, but whereas Wales, they went like in the first half, they did like 34 phases and then got a try. Like just constantly holding on, recycling the ball, exhausting that defense, drawing players in, and then they found space out wide. I just never had the confidence that we were ever going to do that.
There was absolutely 0% of me that thought we were going to score from our rolling maul.
Yeah.
At any point during that game. And I think both for Glasgow and Scotland, I know we've scored sort of rolling mauls against a few of sort of the slightly lesser.
We scored three against Canada in the summer.
That is true. That was George Turner's hat-trick.
George Turner's hat-trick, yeah.
I guess sort of like in that first half, I think we were super lucky to be that close to Wales.
Oh my God.
You're right.
It could have been way, way worse.
It was like the France game. We could have been like 20 points down.
I know. And I think the one thing that this game sort of solidified for me is I generally feel Scotland have regressed. I appreciate the injuries, but this Six Nations has been a real step backwards.
Are we in recession?
We are officially
a couple
recession.
Of quarters of negative growth.
Yeah, exactly.
It's happened.
And also just kind of like Fortress Murrayfield. I know that. Yeah.
Such as it ever was.
I know.
I mean, it kind of was a thing.
It was, to be fair.
It was. We'd only lost to South Africa and New Zealand at Murrayfield before this Six Nations in the last...
I know what you mean in terms of I just couldn't figure out what Scotland were trying to do when they had the ball.
Yeah.
And I kind of, you know, I thought Finn played pretty well considering it was like a difficult day. But I just don't understand like what the game plan is in attack, which, you know, from when Townsend started, I think that everyone knew their roles. And once again, you've got injuries and that makes it difficult. But I thought particularly the midfield just didn't work. I thought Pete Horner a pretty poor game.
I'll tell you who's at fault here. I'd say Cammy Mather, our New Zealand sort of Scotland's man in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Why the hell didn't he pick up Hadley Parks?
Oh yeah, I know.
He is exactly the sort of player.
Is he Scottish qualified?
He's not, but
we could have got him for 3 years.
But we could have
got him for 3 years. No, I'm joking. But I genuinely think
I'm joking, but also not.
But that, you know, Finn obviously is a great player, but he still does need someone who
Even like a Dunbar.
Yeah, exactly. Dunbar in his prime.
Yeah.
And I just don't think any of the current options are really able to offer that level of performance at the top
level. I felt like it would be interesting to see how Sam Johnson gets on this weekend, but I felt like Pete Horn just didn't quite know his role. It was he a distributor, you know, and then he seemed stuck, and then sometimes he'd try and carry, and he was doing it, I think, a bit in two minds.
It feels
and Parks is just swallowing him up.
Scotland want to go wide, but to go wide and create space, you need to be drawing defenders and things like that. And I don't think that Greg or Pete Horn make anybody sort of sit on their heels and think, actually, if they run straight at me, we're fucked.
And
you know, it's not like a Tuilagi or a Jamie Roberts or a Hadley Parks that will hold defenders and you've got room out wide.
And it's, but it's not like people like Seymour are really coming off their wing.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I think, once again, Seymour getting sucked in for the Josh Adams try.
Yeah, well, this was the thing, is after the try, we were sort of looking at it and we're like, how have we become so narrow there?
Yeah, it was outrageous.
And it really was Tommy Seymour getting slightly caught in no man's land, deciding to committed to come in. No reason he had to come in. Nick Greg had his man.
Yeah.
Ultimately leaves you with the 2-on-1. And, you know,
it was still quite a bad attempted tackle by Kinghorn.
I guess the thing about Kinghorn is everyone's talks about him being the fastest player in the Scotland team, but he's one of those guys who takes a while to get to top end speed. He's not got that.
He's not got
that Darcy Graham acceleration. He's a long rangey runner.
Yeah.
And I just do think that he will at sometimes get beaten by people like
kind
that.
Kind of like Maitland as well.
Yes, exactly.
I always think the attacker should win that situation as well.
One-on-one.
Yeah, that's mine.
I do think he could...
Because they're the ones making the decision. They're the ones in control.
He could have better sort of shepherded him to the to this touchline.
Yeah, yeah, I think
it was
so.
It was a lovely piece of footwork.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I
he's in good
mean.
Form. He was at full tilt. It was actually a nice step, but I felt that Kinghorn...
It wasn't that good footwork. It's not like Cheslin Colby is, like, leaving you on your feet. I think Blair Kinghorn just got a bit flat-footed.
Yeah.
Honestly, he sort of planted himself, and then, you know, Josh Adams is good enough to be able to take you on.
Well, Tooney has rung quite a few changes, some of them enforced by injury, some of them not. So this is the team that is going to be running out at Twickenham tomorrow against England. Up front, Alan Dell, Stuart McInally, Will and Nell. Second row, Ben Toulis and Grant Gilchrist. Back row of Sam Skinner at 6, Hamish Watson back at 7, and Magnus Bradbury at 8. Halfbacks, Ali Price and Finn Russell. In the midfield, Sam Johnson and Nick Greig. And the back three, Byron McGuigan, Darcy Graham and Sean Maitland at 15. Lads, probably one of the biggest talking points there in the second row, Johnny Gray dropped. Probably one of the first times in his career he's been fit and available and hasn't been picked for Scotland. What do you make of that?
It's on his 25th birthday as well.
Yeah, it's quite savage, isn't it?
Real
bad. And I think we've sort of been suggesting it for a while. I don't think he's been on good form.
I'm not saying Tooney's listened to us, but we have been talking about it.
I just think that, you know, as we were talking about last week, like, his work rate's still up there. He's still making tackles. He's hitting rucks. He's making himself available for carries. I think he just needs to add something a bit more to his game, whether that's sort of being a bit more dynamic with the ball in hand or possibly a bit better at the breakdown. And that's something that Wales, you know, in that match were really like, Alan Wynne-Jones, when he made that tackle on Darcy Graham when he made the break past Navidi.
Yeah.
And as soon as he makes that tackle, he's so streetwise that he's, you know, he's cheating. He's not supporting his weight, but he's slowing the ball down. And Scotland as a whole don't really do that. And it would just be great to see someone like Johnny Gray being the leader in that regard.
It was so funny seeing that Wynne-Jones tackle on Darcy Graham. It's like such an important moment of the match.
And of course it was him.
I know. And he was there, made the tackle, slowed it down. Yeah. Just like a real pivotable.
Just amazing.
Pivotable.
It was a moment that could turn on his head. It was very pivotable.
But I mean, also, we've talked quite a lot about the success of Edinburgh this year at the set piece. McInally and Toulis, they run the line out for Edinburgh, so I don't have any concern about that all Edinburgh front five. Stats this week, Alan Dell, most gain line successes in the Six Nations for people that have made more than 20 carries.
Yeah, I saw that. And whilst I know he did have that one big run against Wales at the weekend.
Great to see.
Which was great to see, to be fair. He's got a little bit of toe on him.
Like, yeah, he's quite quick.
Against he's other forwards.
I mean, for props, he's in the top 5% of great nick props.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's an athlete. He's not Willem Nel, for example, in terms of, like, body shape.
Yes.
And I think he has added that dimension of carrying to his game, which has been really noticeable this year.
But actually, the way that was ranked was not just on, like, total meters gained, but percentage gain line success.
So it's how many times you... So it wasn't as if that was an outlier that pushed him up the table, was it?
Exactly.
Bradbury performing fairly well in that list as well. I thought he had a better, much better game against Wales than he had the previous week against France, where he still looked off the pace.
Carried for 90 metres or something. So it'll be interesting to see him actually starting at eight, which I think is probably his best position.
That's true. What do you think of the makeup of that back row? Sam Skinner coming back for his first game since Italy on the first weekend. Watson obviously back after breaking his hand, and then Bradbury at eight. That's a very strong back row.
Do you think in a perfect world they would have kept Ritchie and put Skinner in the row?
Yes, possibly. Yeah,
because I don't think Ritchie would have got dropped.
No. He's been playing really well,
and they're not leaving out Hamish Watson after his sort of like cameo 20-minute Superman performance.
Do you think it's a heft thing? At England pack they're going up against is big.
Yeah.
Skinner's quite like for like with a Mark Wilson or something like that. Same sort of size and...
slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Probably slightly less dynamic.
Yeah. Mm. There was another video of Mark Wilson training that England put up yesterday. Guy's an absolute beast.
Yeah, I know.
His triceps are offensive. They're unbelievable.
But I think it was also, you automatically think he's like a harder worker just because he's northern.
He's from the northeast. Yeah. So gritty.
He's like, I think he worked in like a coal mine for his first like 3 years. But no, I think it's like quite a nice balance. Skinner, Watson and Brad, probably the best balance back row
we've had in ages.
So it'd be interesting to see. I think Bradbury's clearly like stepped up his performance between the France game and the Wales game. He's probably the standout forward at the weekend.
He carried really well. I felt like quite a lot of the guys who had been tasked with carrying the ball, like Strauss and Bradbury, were seeking out the contact.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's not really... we're not going to win games by doing that.
No.
So I'd like to see just... and obviously, like Hamish Watson's a bit of a freak, but he kind of is trying to get away from the contact rather than take it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see just a bit more footwork in the way that these guys go about things.
Yes,
I don't know if Bradbury's got that, but...
I guess you compare him to sort of Matt Ferguson. He's probably got more... kind of heft, and he's slightly more sort of he's just a bigger guy.
Whereas Ferguson's
probably a little bit lighter on his feet.
Yeah.
Although I do think Ferguson's almost moving further towards the sort of Strauss Bradbury kind of end of the spectrum. Whereas actually initially when he came on the scene, he did really utilize his footwork.
Yeah.
It'll be good and great to see Hamish Watson back.
Yeah, he's going to hopefully make a huge difference.
That run just lifted the stadium. It was awesome. Even the Indian Welsh guys behind me were like, oh my God, he is
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the first time, like, and obviously Twitter is not reflective of the general public, but like everybody, like rugby pundits who are usually pretty disdainful of Scotland in general, were talking about like, oh my God, Hamish Watson's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, there's people saying that like, French clubs are going to be piling in for him like tomorrow. I hope he has
a really big game at the weekend and he just
He's going to break the duck.
To be fair, I can imagine like Altraz like having like a cigarello, like watching the game. He's like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
What about the choice to stick with Ali Price at nine?
I
see your face, Matt.
I was disappointed with Price actually because he's brought in to speed up the game and Maybe he was told not to, but he didn't take a single quick tap, which, you know, he's presumably there for. And I would have quite liked that, you know, taking the game to the Welsh. And you know what? His pass isn't that quick.
Yeah.
Maybe when he gets going, it's a bit quicker than Laidlaw's, but he was picking up from the base a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's reflective of the kind of ball he was getting, but he didn't try and make a break once. I don't think he really brought the forwards into the game. So I just think, yeah, for his strengths, he wasn't able to impose them, or they weren't able to utilise him that well.
No. And how bad was the last 5 minutes?
What, when he was on the wing?
When he was on the wing.
I just felt like, you know, there was times when he was just sort of hanging around at rucks, obviously, like, mentally being like, I'm the scrum half, I'm meant to be here. And it reminded me of, like, you know, that meme of, like, Ralph Wiggum, where it's just like, I'm helping. And he was just sort of, like, standing in the entirely, like, wrong place.
At one point, Laidlaw picked and sort of, like, did a little, like, hoverball pop, thinking it's going to be Strauss or Bradbury carrying it, and it was Price on his shoulder because he must have just been sitting behind the rock, and you're like, oh, and he like ran straight into Navidi.
I did feel really bad for him when he did that sort of tackle off the ball where he was like, right, I'm going to fill this guy in.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
He kind of had to go, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. He had to, like, in his mind, just before contact, he's like, that's going into the guy's hands.
Yes.
So yeah. I did feel really bad for him. Because
some people claim it was a turning point. I was like, that's absolutely nonsense.
That's the thing. You look really stupid, but I can completely understand how you end up in that situation and you do that.
Yeah.
You're just like, I've got this.
I felt really bad for him because I was like, you know, he's just trying to, we've ended up in a shit situation and he's trying to make his best.
Also, his box kicking, I thought, was really poor.
There weren't many contestable ones. None were contestable.
None were contestable. And you're giving it to Liam Williams, who is even going to catch the difficult one.
Oh my
ones.
God, so he's so good in the air.
I was really disappointed with that, actually.
Finn versus Owen Farrell in the battle of personalities. Two extremely different people and different styles of rugby against each other on Saturday. But, I mean, Finn, every game he's played this year, I've been impressed with him for Scotland. I think his quality's improved.
Weirdly, in a year where we've obviously discussed how we've regressed, it feels like Finn's found a level of consistency in performance. Like, I even think against Wales and France.
Yeah, I agree.
He's actually, you know, he's not been doing as much stupid shit as he used to do.
He didn't play against France.
Against Ireland. meant Ireland.
Well, yeah, he literally couldn't do any stupid shit.
Yeah.
Against France.
But yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, though, if he goes... Like, that's...
I think it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, this whole weekend pivots on the Ireland-Wales game.
Yeah.
Because if England are still in the game to win the championship...
Yes.
That's a completely different mindset than if this is just a chuck-around. I quite wanted to just be a chuck-around because Finn will be like, well, there's nothing on the line. Let's have a go.
Yeah.
And I think...
There's nothing on the line anyway.
Yeah, for
Scotland.
But it'll be different, I suppose. England's attitude will be completely different if they're playing for something or not.
Yeah. I think Finn will love that kind of match, like going down to Twickenham, playing against someone like Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he'll he'll still try stuff even if we're getting like shunted back at every scrum. He's just got to live with it.
I would say that if you look team versus team, the area where Scotland look sort of lightweight is the midfield. I mean, lightweight physically and maybe in quality as well. Sam Johnson against Tuilagi, Nick Grigg, Henry Slade. There's quite a big gap between those two.
Honestly, I think 12 to 15. Like,
I don't think Slade's that good. I think Johnson's as good as Slade, personally.
I think that's a pretty stupid comment.
I think your opinion's wrong.
I think Slade's a good player. He's not a 13.
What's his position then?
10 or 12, personally. Well, they're never going to play him there.
They sort of mix him in Tuilagi, though.
Yeah. But I mean, Grigg didn't get shown up by Jonathan Davies at the weekend.
No.
He didn't get shown up by Bastereau.
Defensively, Grigg has been pretty solid, actually.
So maybe I don't know, but then he's not marking Tuilagi, is he? It's going to be Sam Johnson.
Yeah. I think even if you look at that 12-15, like, I appreciate Darcy Graham doesn't look out of place in an international setup. McGuigan... Fine, like
solid,
premiership player.
Yeah.
Maitland isn't really a fullback.
No, but he's good enough at international level to not.
Last
look
game
like
he played fullback for Scotland. when we put 50 on Australia.
Oh, really?
Because Hogg pulled out.
Oh, last minute.
Oh, yeah.
McGuigan came on for his debut. Scored two.
Oh, yeah.
And Maitland shifts to 15.
For some reason, I always just thought that they would put McGuigan at fullback ahead of Maitland. Just
I think a lot of people were saying that on Twitter. I don't mind having Maitland there. I think he's a pretty solid guy. And he seems pretty relaxed when he's playing. So I think he's got a pretty cool head.
He's quite defensively minded as well. And England's tactical kicking game has been pretty good throughout the whole Six Nations. So he's going to be in trouble.
Maitland doesn't have that good a kicking game, though.
No. He always looks like someone who's learnt how to kick as opposed to somebody who like naturally gets it.
He's not like Elliot Daly.
He like throws the ball up to then kick it rather than dropping it onto his foot.
I think it was McGuigan and Darcy Graham had kicks to touch at the weekend.
Yeah.
And
like Darcy scaffed one right off the side of his foot.
It was exactly that. It was being like taught to kick at the age of 20.
Yeah.
Because they'd never had to do it before because they just run through teams.
Yeah. Darcy Graham, though?
Very impressive.
Looking real good. That try was fully beast, to be fair.
It was absolutely class. I was so sure when it was in Hastings' hands that he was going to dummy, get filled in and get nowhere near the try line.
I was having a coffee with Adam Hastings on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, you did. You interrupted his morning coffee on Sunday.
He was on his own, and I went, "How's the body, mate?" And I talked about the thistle, and he at least pretended he knew what it was.
He's been on the pod.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think he really remembered.
Weird opening question, though. How's your body?
How
is your body, mate?
Oh, I said, how's the body after yesterday?
All right, you context. Know,
I made a connection right away.
Context right is away. King.
Did it look like he'd been out the night before?
I don't know. He looked all right. He looked fairly fresh. It was quite early.
Guy I was at school with put up a photo of him and Hamish Watson. Why not?
They're all why not, supposedly.
I mean, fair. But maybe I reckon Hamish was just dropping off some Rex Club caps.
Yeah, exactly.
Official why cap not, supply why to not why not?
Branded caps.
But Hastings looked good when he came on.
Everyone was worried. Everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on here? But
the thing is, he didn't have to deal much with kind of like any sort of kicking.
No.
By that point, the game had kind of opened up, I think.
Yeah.
It was a bit all over the shop, which is what he's going to do well in.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good, and he was good. His cover tackle on Josh Adams as well in the corner.
Yeah, it was really
was
good.
Awesome.
That was one of those tackles, like, no technique.
Oh,
he was just like, I've got to fucking do this.
I've only got 79 kgs, and I'm chucking all of them in here.
Yeah.
I've got to make as big of an impact as possible. Bench, fairly strong, I suppose. Fraser Brown, Gordy Reid, Simon Bergen, Johnny Gray, Josh Strice, Greg Laidlaw, Hastings, and Chris Harris.
Oh, the Harris man. He's back.
I suppose, again, aside from Fraser Brown, Simon Bergen, they'll both come on and put in a pretty solid shift.
Yeah.
The rest, I would say, are...
Again, I just think if someone goes down between 12 and 15, just seem to be picking up so many injuries at the moment, like just during the game.
Do you think it is, there's something more to it? It's like they're not physically prepared, or it's just bad luck?
Arsenal under Wenger, just always getting long-term injuries.
I just can't, some people were talking about this on Twitter, being like, oh, the S&C coaches need to be reviewed. And I think in this day and age, like, S&C is surely fairly commoditized.
Yes.
Like,
someone's calling for Sean Lamont's head.
It's not like England are doing some sort of special strength and conditioning that's like reduced injury rate by 50%.
Yeah, they've spent like billions of R&D on. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
They're not taking enough CBD oil.
Well, that's true.
This is the problem.
I just kind of, I don't buy that. But yeah, I think it's just hellish luck.
They've all seen how great a time Hugh Jones is having in Barbados, and they're just like, I've got a niggle. Tommy Seymour's like, mate, sorry, lads.
Yeah, they're like, this SRU recovery program looks great.
Yeah, what was Seymour's injury? Was it ribs? No. Forearm or something?
Yeah, he was sort of holding his arm.
That's what I think we should know.
Hugh Jones had, was it knee ligament damage. I don't feel like strength and conditioning is something that's going to vastly... help that? I don't know.
Did you know dogs have cruciate ligaments?
No.
My dog's getting a wee operation on his cruciate.
Is he?
Yeah.
Poor little Archie.
I know, poor little Archie. Didn't think they had. Sounds like a kind of sportsman's injury.
Cool.
Anyway. Anyway.
Well then. So, should we do... You've got a wee quiz, don't you?
Got a wee Scotland-England quiz.
Should we rattle through the quiz, predictions? Then predictions, and then... Good. Whole day of work.
go home. Just before we start the quiz, my favourite quote that came out the weekend, how savage was the Tom English article?
Oh, my God.
I didn't... I can't remember
it. He sort of kicked it off by sort of tearing into the players because they're all like kind of like taking like photos with like their families and stuff.
Yes, that was quite interesting.
Do you not think they're like told to do that?
Yeah.
And told to put BT Murrayfield.
I think it was more like a positioning. I think he was saying if the messaging was... We played well. We just couldn't quite kind of make it.
Well, that's what Andy Nicol like was saying.
The valiant loser.
Gus Scott went. Yeah. Did you see that on Jamie Ritchie's Twitter? I think he only ever tweets after games. So like the last like four of his tweets, like his whole timeline is just like gutted about the result, but great to see BT Murrayfield full. And it's just like five of them.
I've seen the when I was at that best seat in the house thing for the Italy game. It's right next to the like wives and girlfriends and families and stuff like that. And sort of at 80 minutes, they just like open. It's like a pen, and they all like run on. So yeah, I think that's what Tom English was saying, because it happens straight after. As soon as everyone claps down the tunnel, they're all like the families are on and things like that. I don't begrudge them for that. You know, like whether you've maybe you do it behind closed doors, but.
I actually think the sort of key bit of his article was the more like the positioning of the match as a sort of almost like a valiant loss.
Yeah, yeah, like, I agree with that.
Which I do feel is slightly sort of, I think it's beneath this team. We shouldn't be positioning that game as a positive in any way whatsoever. Because
it was Townsend in his press conference was like, I'm just extremely proud of the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like they show great character and it's like, well, that's a prerequisite, right? Like before you go in the pitch.
I'd like to show some like clinical thinking at 68 minutes to be like, actually, we'll take 3 points here, get within a point, and we'll just go again, like patient, get the ball back.
Patience with the ball.
Yeah, or holding on to it in contact.
Yeah.
The Tom English quote was, they lost because, despite all the ball in the world, they didn't have the power, the wit, the accuracy, the patience to score when they needed to score.
Oh, dear.
It's a very well-written skewering, isn't
it? Yeah, I know. Tom English does write a beast article. He's
basically for 10 years been writing about how Scotland are terrible at rugby. He's got it down to a good...
I think he knew this was going to happen when he volunteered to be like the BBC Scottish rugby specialist.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
quiz.
Yep.
Go on.
Right, we'll be very, very quick. So, a decade of Scotland-England games. What do you think is the average... score the last 9 Calcutta Cup games? Calcutta.
What are you saying?
It's early, mate.
Calcutta.
33-17. I've gone 30-10. So 1 point each, actually. 25-14 rounded up. 25-14. So England has scored a total of 222 points and Scotland has scored a total of 123 points.
That's not too bad, actually.
Well, do you remember there was sort of like the mid, I guess like the 2000s where they were really close.
Like, yeah, dire matches.
And there's a couple of games like when Charlie Hodgson like charged down that kick right at the death. Yeah. We almost won them, yeah.
So your first 3 games of the decade are like 15-all.
Yeah.
22-16 to England, 13-6 to England, just like. And then you've got a couple of Twickenham games where there's a real pull away.
Real pull away after 60 minutes.
Who is the one player to score more than one try against England this decade?
What, in a...
Across overall. All games.
Hugh Jones.
Boom. 2-1 to Davos.
Very good.
And then we have had 10 people have scored tries against England this decade for Scotland. We'll go 1-for-1. Okay. Harry. Who've you got?
Hogg.
Hogg is correct.
Sean Maitland.
Sean Maitland is correct.
Hugh Jones.
Hugh Jones is correct.
No, I'm struggling.
Can I go? I've got others.
Sorry, it's actually only 6 people. Sorry.
Mark Bennett.
Mark Bennett is correct. 2015 Twickenham.
And Gordy Reid.
Yes, Gordy Reid, such
Gordy
a good shout.
Gordy Reid is correct.
He piled over when we were 60 down.
That's
yeah.
when is that it? No, we were like 25-0 down, and Gordy Reid piled over just the end of the first half, and I was like, "We fucking got this."
Yeah, it's a great photo of him. Actually, he's absolutely loving it.
There's one more from, and I actually remember this try really vividly. 2011 game at Twickenham. We lost 22-16 and we scored a try, I think, around
Max
five.
Evans.
Max Evans.
I was at that match, actually.
Chip kick over.
Yeah.
I think he chipped it over James Haskell, maybe.
That was when Foden got put in the clear and Patterson did that unbelievable covering tackle in the corner.
Yeah,
like right around his bootlaces.
Yeah.
I remember that whole season, like, Chris Patterson was just making, like, really improbable, like, cover tackles.
That's a man who could shepherd you to touch.
Yeah, exactly.
The gala shepherd.
He did have that classic just like ankle wrap tackle.
Incredible. That's all he could do. I mean, he was tiny.
But I'd actually hadn't really realised that apart from last year, we hadn't won a game against England this decade. For some reason, I thought there was like a sneak, like 9-6.
Yeah.
But that was sort of...
2008?
Well, it was 10 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, 08.
08 was last time.
So it was a decade.
Because we won 06, 08. Both at Murrayfield, both in terrible conditions.
And we drew once.
And we drew once when England had like Leslie Vinicola.
Hating it.
like, what am I doing?
I remember Saki like running into contact, Jason White absolutely killing him.
Yeah. Who's the big Rugby League 12 they tried to get going for a wee while?
Happy?
Yeah, Shontaine Happy.
He was
so bad.
Really bad.
It's a real like obsession with like getting like, we need a Rugby League 12.
Yeah.
Because it was like, was it Henry Paul for a little
Henry
bit?
Henry Paul. They got one of the... Like, Carl Price went to Gloucester for a while.
Literally awful. Andy Farrell, obviously Sam Burgess.
I think if Scotland get the big money from CVC, they should open up, like, loads of, like, feeder schools in, like, Suva and, like, on Samoa and stuff like that.
There's
just, like,
so many...
Watson's Fiji.
There's so many guys...
Come on, lads.
There's so many guys playing in the NRL who qualified to play for the Scotland Rugby League team. And they're all, like, you know, good players.
I know.
Just ship them over.
We should do a decade of experimenting with rugby league centres. That's what we should do. That's what we should do next.
But it was sort of the real bleak time. There was sort of the 38-18 at Twickenham.
Yes.
Which was 2013. And then the 2015 game was when we were actually winning at halftime, and then George Ford scored a try basically just after the...
I was at the 2015 game. It was Sean Maitland's first game for Scotland.
He scored early doors
in the far corner.
That was 2013.
Was that 2013?
Yeah.
I was there. And I remember one of the bleakest ones was when we had the Nematodes at Murrayfield, and it was like a proper like...
Was that when Parks got charged down?
Parks got charged down. No, it wasn't Parks because Duncan Weir was starting at 10.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
And I remember it started and, like, we were there together.
Fasaro made his debut and Billy Vunipola just, like, ran over him.
The pitch was horrific. Everyone was saying this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, we're 2 minutes in. Dunkey Weir puts one out on the full and we're just like, oh, my God, this is going to be a long old day.
No, that was 2014.
That 2014.
And I actually vividly remember that being the worst atmosphere.
Was that 20-0 or something like
20-0.
That?
20-0. I think it was the worst atmosphere I've ever seen at Murrayfield. Literally, you're right, 2 minutes in, there was like, kind of, everyone's just like, yeah. And then Duncan Weir knocked out and I literally don't think the crowd shouted once.
Yeah, that was it. I think that was like the most recent extreme low point of Scottish rugby.
I mean, losing 61-21 was pretty bad.
And I was
there.
Any
other questions?
Nah.
Yeah. Is that it?
I
think I won that.
I think that's fine.
I think you did.
61-21. I was at Twickenham that day, and I'm going back tomorrow, so hopefully...
Do you see this story?
Point win?
The story on Twitter about this old guy who's only been to
Twickenham.
Yeah, I loved it.
He's only been to Twickenham to watch Scotland three times in his life, and they've won every time. And he's going back.
He's going back tomorrow.
So he's not been back to Twickenham since 1983. And he's just like, I've decided.
I don't think it's true. I just got a stock photo of like an old guy who kind of looks like a rugby fan.
There's not been the big Jim Telfer article being chucked
out. Yeah, I know.
I wonder if someone, like the Mail's saving it for a big Saturday
morning
splash.
But Rob Robertson has gone to Jim Telfer to get some just like stock quotes about hating England. It's like,
Telfer says Jones is a prick.
Can actually see that on the back page of like Scottish Daily Mail tomorrow. Yeah. Everyone's just like, yes. Commemorative issue. Telfer says Jones is a dickhead.
There's a lot of lads in the bottom and they'll be like, Luke, Telfer just says it how it is, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Should we finish with some predictions then?
Yep, let's do it.
I am going down there. I'm not looking forward to it. I think this Scotland team is better than the team that went out against Wales. I think there's better quality of players and it's picked a little bit more on form than last week. And I think it will go to a England by 10 or 12.
The thing is, but the Scotland team that's going out is probably a lot worse than the team that played against Twickenham 2 years ago.
Yes.
Like, quite.
Why not backing the kids?
Because it's not very good. I think that England, compared to last year, like, suddenly got on a bit of a roll.
Yeah.
You know, I think, what, bookies at England by 16?
England by 18. That's what bookies have got.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Bookies have actually been extremely close on every single one of their predictions.
What was my message?
Wales by 7.
Wales by 7.
Clairvoyant. So tell us now, what is it going to be the final score on?
I think it's going to go two ways. I think either England just get out in front early and we end up getting absolutely pumped. I'm talking like 25 points.
Yeah.
Or I think it's really close up for about 60 minutes and then England just sort of pull away and win by.
Put on 10 points in the last 20 minutes.
Put on like 10 points in the last 20.
Wouldn't mind that. That sounds quite good.
No, I just don't think, you know, at some point in our lifetimes, Scotland will win at Twickenham. It's just it's not going to be tomorrow.
I think you've nailed on the head though. We need to start absolutely flying. We need to score the first points tomorrow. We haven't done that in any game this year, apart from Italy, which doesn't really count. If we can get 7 points in the first 10 minutes.
What I liked against Wales,
tricking them up a little bit.
Jamie Ritchie just like getting like a little bit of a scrap with Josh Adams.
Yeah,
like nothing came of it. No one else got involved. But I just want someone to do that in the first like. I want Grant Gilchrist chuck a little like a uppercut that no one can see.
You know, in the FA Cup earlier this year, it was like Man City played like Burton Albion or something like that. It beat them like 9-0.
Yeah.
Burton didn't even get one yellow card. And I'm like, if you're going to do one thing, get
in
their face.
You're going to hack them.
Like, hack into them.
Like, get in Farrell's face.
I don't want, obviously, stupid yellow cards, because that's what started the downfall against England 2 years ago. If you remember, Fraser Brown was lucky to escape a red.
It was a sweet hit.
But let's get in their face. Let's rile them up.
I think the whole Sinclair thing's a bit of a red herring, but it's like get in his face and nail against Sinclair. Just like nail, just like destroy him in a scrum and then like.
Nail, Dell, and McNally are just all like too nice though. This is where you want the Schumann. Yeah. He could rile up some boys.
I reckon Gordy Reid would rile them up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We need somebody to get Kyle Sinclair to lose his head.
Yeah.
A little Kyle Sinclair red card after 20 minutes. And
oh, my God.
Then we start going.
You just want, like, Ryan Wilson just to give, like, Owen Farrell's face, like, a rub.
Did you see all that crack about people trying to get Ryan Wilson to be Scotland's water boy this weekend?
I did see
some. So he can run on just, like, get it up, you lads.
That'd be great.
I know we'll sort of talk about this probably late in a sort of Six Nations wrap up, but outside of Italy game, Scotland have had one try a game.
Yeah.
For all three.
Scored less tries than Italy.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Back to the old days.
Going back to the regression point.
Yeah.
So sort of, there's been a real sort of like average 3 to 4 tries a game for the last sort of 2 years, and it's been a real sort of pullback. Just generally in the 22, Scotland just really looked really blunt.
I think we were averaging something around 30 points a game at Murrayfield.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years. Like, massive.
Just right off the Six Nations. We've had loads of injuries. It's just the cards have not been dealt our way.
What's actually good is that everyone's getting a rest before the World Cup.
Yeah. And everyone thinks we're really, really bad.
Take down Ireland in the first game.
We can't be favourites.
Here we go.
We can't cope with being favourites.
No, it's true. I also think Dave Rennie's probably a little bit happy at the moment. Just, I appreciate some of his players are injured, but he's like, he's only got 3 people starting this weekend. He's kind of like, hopefully, like Jones and Hogg are going to be coming back right for sort of Glasgow's Champions Cup season.
Yeah,
it's
Hastings finding a bit of form.
Yeah.
Last point is just when Steyn got called up, it really reminded me of what you were saying a couple of weeks ago, Matt, about like, is there a better country to be a professional rugby player than Scotland if you want an international call up? And I was like, Steyn, 3 games for Glasgow. Thank you very much in the Scotland training squad.
To be fair, it looks pretty good.
It does, to be fair, but
I mean, I feel like
it's just mad.
Italy. I feel like it's easier to get a cap for Italy than Scotland. It's got to be easier.
Probably.
But Italy have Tier 1. Do they not have a professional league underneath the?
Yeah,
the
I think
two
it's
Pro 14 sides or semi-pro.
Semi-pro, so slight. It's probably like the Super Six. Yeah. So yeah.
But anyway, right, that's plenty.
That is plenty. Scotland against England tomorrow at Twickenham. We will be back next week for a Six Nations wrap-up. Look forward to it. Come on, Scotland. See you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.